Hello.
Hello.
You're in charge in this
one. Am I? Why am I in charge? Hello.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome to the special Christmas episode of I Hate Your Movie. Fa la 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 la.
Jingle bells, jingle bells. I hate movie now. I'm not good at improvising any songs. Dot.
There you go. I hope you make a special like mix of that, like you do every time I sing, even a fraction of a song.
No, because I don't know. I'm just fascinated when you sing.
I hope you put the amount of effort into it that you put into humiliating me in song form.
Like the Rick Suspiro rap.
Exactly.
That I put like a 2 days constant, almost 48 hours work into.
Yes.
Well, you're the true mascot of this
Yeah,
of this
the singing
podcast.
Mascot.
Yeah, I'm just the everyman. Really, I'm just exploiting you for clicks.
What did we watch this week? Let me answer for you. Home Alone. Yay!
Yay.
Yeah, Home Alone. The original one, the very first one.
Yeah, from 1908.
Yes.
It was in black and white, 4x3.
Mm-hmm. Just before World War One.
Yeah, people were watching, when they were watching in the cinema, they thought, they left a real kid really at home.
Yeah, they had like the still, you know, the still instead of the way he does the face
yeah.
written on it. Yeah. Oh no.
Oh no, it hurts when I put aftershave on. Ouch.
I will say about that, that annoyed me. Because aftershave only hurts after you shave.
Didn't he shave though?
He didn't, he's like 10. What does he need to shave?
Well, he did a little motion.
Yeah?
There's still little hairs on your face.
No.
The white ones, yeah. There's as many hairs on you and me and every human.
Not just specifically me and you.
I might have more. We have as many hairs as a gorilla.
Yeah?
But a lot of it is just those tiny...
I certainly don't have as many hairs as a gorilla. I'm missing a large portion of the top of my head.
Well, I just imagine the chest of the gorilla is the makes up for it. A lot of those are tiny little white hairs.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know if they would hurt.
What if you shaved a gorilla? You don't know if it would hurt.
That would hurt.
Home Alone.
Home Alone.
We watched Home Alone.
You got facts.
The second best Home Alone, in my opinion.
I don't know. Have you seen Home Alone 6? how do we start this?
Don't know. How did we get here?
How did we get here?
What have we become?
We watched a movie Pig in 2019.
And it all went downhill from
it
there.
It's just fucking like an avalanche from that.
I don't really have any facts from Home Alone, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Yeah, I did look up the trivia, and it was boring.
Was it?
Yeah, there wasn't really much. Usually when you have a film this old, you know, they've interviewed the cast to death. Like any time, you know, they're in a film 20 years from then and, you know, someone says, oh, remember that time on Home Alone? Did this happen? And you get lots of facts and stuff like that, but there's none of that on this.
I've got a fun fact.
Yeah.
Home Alone was the number one movie in cinemas when I was conceived. And Michael Jackson's Bad was the number one song.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, you're...
I'm a Home Alone baby.
You're a Home Alone baby. Your parents got motivated by Michael Jackson's music and child neglect.
Yes. It makes sense.
And carried on that tradition all through their lives.
It all makes sense now. Should I say my one-sentence review?
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is, I think, you'll be shocked, especially since you're saying it's the second best Home Alone.
Yeah.
I think as objectively as we can measure movies and how good they are, this is one of the best movies we've seen on the podcast.
Stunned silence.
Yes.
For the people that can't see my face, I am stunned to silence.
Script, perfect. Every setup has a payoff. Characters... the important ones fleshed out. Technically perfect. Not one out of focus shot. Nothing weird shots like that. And also stylistic, which was the biggest shock to me. It was almost like a Sam Raimi film. With like people looking in the camera and then like constant zooms. And so there's lots of little stylistic additions. I feel like if we add all these together, it is one of the best movies we've seen. And that doesn't mean that it's my favorite we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
I still watched The Thing again more than this. But I was impressed.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
So is this the first time you've seen this film?
This is the problem with this, right? Because I remember Home Alone 2 a lot.
I remember Home Alone 2 a lot more than I remember this.
That's one of those movies that just imprinted in my brain. So maybe I haven't seen it because it's so different to what I imagined. And I'm sure we'll get into that.
Yeah.
That I'm doubtful that I ever watched it now. I definitely watched 2 a lot.
Do you think like when you first watched it, because you probably watched this film throughout your childhood, right? You're probably about 10, 11,
maybe
something.
Maybe I heard it when I was a baby in my mummy's tummy.
You heard it in your father's ballsack.
Rick.
Hello.
Do you like to listen to bonus episodes on patreon.com/IHateYourMovie?
I love it more than anything else.
It makes my life so good.
I've grown 12 inches since listening to...
Where?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Did you know that on patreon.com/IHateYourMovie, we have our best episodes on the show for £1 plus tax. You can enjoy all our bonus episodes we do every month. We do things like trivia.
Current champion.
Oh yeah, f*** you. I forget, I hate you. we do things like...
Random film generators.
Random film generators.
We've watched films like Resident Evil 3 and Halloween No One Cares.
Halloween 2, the bad one. The other bad one.
No, the other bad one.
Not the other bad one.
No, the other bad one.
We get movie suggestions from our patrons and much more.
More.
So join this great community of people for £1 plus taxes a month. Patreon.com/IHateYourMovie.
Yeah, so do you think, like, if you saw this film, like, back then, you would appreciate it in the same way? Like, is it... Obviously, you wouldn't have, like, known about, you know, camera shots and all that kind of stuff, but would you think you would have noticed that stuff and loved it the same amount?
Definitely not.
No?
No, this is all very subtle stuff that I pick up on now. I would pick up on the style and see it's, like, quirky. I like those Sam Raimi Spider-Mans are quirky. But that's pretty much it. Subconsciously, probably I would be captivated by the characters and the storytelling, which is amazing.
Do you think that's why this film has persisted as long as it has?
I think that and the uniqueness of the premise.
Mm-hmm.
It's a unique premise and it's an original idea. And I think it is just very well done. And now it's kind of like a self... perpetuating thing where it became iconic, so it keeps being shown a lot at Christmas, so it's a self-perpetuating machine of popularity. But I think the style is just elevated this movie for me a lot.
Okay, so I don't think we need to go through the plot points of this film. I think anyone who is listening to this podcast likes films, and most people who have liked films have seen Home Alone.
But do you remember it correctly? Let's talk about that.
No, I don't remember it correctly.
Let's talk about that. Because
cool. We did some timings, didn't we?
Yeah.
I've gone out and asked people this question. I'm going to ask you. You know the answer already, but I'm going to ask you because that's how this format works.
Yeah. I'll tell you the answer I would have given before watching the movie.
Yeah, yeah. The whole film is an hour and 45 minutes. And my question to you is, how long do you think, or did you think, that Macaulay Culkin spends defending the house from the robbers? This is from the moment he says, I've got to defend this place, to the moment the sticky bandits are unconscious and that he's safe.
I would have said at least 50 minutes.
Yes.
Like 5-0.
Yep, okay.
Yeah.
I would have said roughly the same.
Yeah.
I've since gone out and asked people this question and they've given me ludicrous answers, which were scarily accurate.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it just us problem then?
Maybe, maybe it is. But I think it was because I asked the question that they gave me answers that were like, because it's such a weird question to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So the answer to that question for those listening at home is 16 minutes and 31 seconds out of an hour and 45 film.
Yeah.
He actually spends doing anything that you remember.
Yeah, that you remember, yeah.
You know, all of every single bit where the sticky bandits are trying to get into the house, every bit where they get injured, every bit from when he even starts setting up all of these things that happen throughout the whole invasion. That's it. 16 minutes, 31 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Which is insane.
It is.
Or maybe it isn't. Maybe it's just us.
Maybe it's just us. It is, but I do like how it's paced.
I feel like they could have cut a couple of bits. I think he goes shopping like twice. I think at that point, I was really getting antsy to like, where's the violence?
Where's the violence that I remember and love?
Yeah, where's the home invasion?
Yeah.
Where's the bit where they like hang a kid on a door and threaten to cut his fingers off?
That's the other thing of it. Like, is the second one, have you looked into this?
I haven't, no.
Is the second one more consistent in terms of there's more violence like that? And maybe that's why we remember it like that. Because in the second one, they go after the kid specifically. So I would imagine that would cause at least, maybe the same amount of 16 minutes, but like more spread out throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm. No, I intentionally didn't look up anything about number two, just in case we do it in the future.
Okay, now I'm curious.
Yeah.
I feel like I remember it very well. But...
Christmas 2025, Home Alone 2. It wasn't a fact, it wasn't like a fun fact, but I did read into how much work they did on kind of the build-up to Kevin being left at home. Can you spot any plot holes in why he got left at home at any point? Because that some of the little details in that are just amazing.
Yeah, it was very well done. I noticed like a redundancy where they're getting out to the bus shuttle to the airport and then they get the teenager girl to count all the heads.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see her, she counts herself twice. She starts with herself and then counts all the rest of the kids and then she counts her again because she taps the heads for every little kid. And then you told me, it's like, oh no, it's that little annoying kid who just got on the bus and started asking questions.
Yeah.
And yeah, that makes sense. Because there were so many weird little white paisley kids who all looked the same. I did not notice that was a different kid. So I was more paying attention to what the girl was doing. And she did count herself twice.
Did she?
Yeah.
Okay. So she should have got more than the kids.
And I was like, oh my God, that's like an amazing little tiny detail. That would have been great.
Did you notice the passports as well?
No, it was the passports.
So that happens really early on in the film. It's when they're all having pizza and Kevin tackles, I've forgotten the kid's name, the big kid. Let's call him Biff.
Biff. Buzz?
Buzz. Yes, yeah. It is Buzz. He tackles Buzz and knocks a drink over and they clean it all up. And as they clean it all up, one of the passports, they gather all the tissue paper, pick up one of the passports, and they throw it in the bin. So that explains why when she gets to the airport, she holds all the passports, because obviously the mum's got all the passports.
Yeah.
She hands them over, and there's no issue there either.
You see, like, super tight script, super tight. I feel like some of the decision-making in this is very similar to how I write, which is, oh, I want, like, a situation to happen, and then I spent a long time justifying that situation, but it makes for a really satisfying script where it's airtight, completely airtight, you know. Yeah.
He went over it again and again and again. I think the writer of it actually went and asked other people, like, okay, can you see anything with this, what would happen here, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's everything's explained. If you really look into the details of it, every minute piece of it is explained.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is a slight argument that, like, why is the neighbor kid just walked up and started talking to random, like, car drivers?
Because he's a kid and he likes to ask why this, why that, why.
But where did he come from? Who is he?
Early 90s, late 80s, kids just wandering around. Just
wandered into strangers' vans. Into
buses. That kid is not around anymore. He wandered into the wrong bus. There's a rusty van and it said free candy. Can we talk about acting?
Acting?
Acting. What do you think about the most amazing actor in this?
God, I'm going to try and figure out who you're talking about.
Okay. The most amazing actor of our time.
Okay. Are you talking about Kieran Culkin?
Yes, I'm talking about Kieran Culkin. He was so good. The little tiny...
He was so good. He was in it for about 10 seconds and yeah. He was like, ooh.
There's one much better than his brother, let me just say.
Come on.
He had
nothing to do.
He had
you've picked a background actor.
I remember...
It's like you've picked out someone from the table scene in Harry Potter that's gone, like, did one good reaction, and you've gone, well, he's better than Daniel Radcliffe.
I remember laughing at one of his lines, just saying, and it was just his delivery.
Do you know what the shampoo is, Fuller?
I don't live here.
Who knew that little kid will become a sex pest on Succession? just the most disgusting person you could ever portray in a film. Yeah. Let's talk about the real star of the show. The real greatest actor.
All right, now I've really got to think who you're talking about.
The real creme de la creme of this movie. just made a small role and just elevated it to such heights.
Oh, God. I'm never going to get it because it will be something really obscure.
It isn't, actually.
No? Is it the old man?
No. It is boring. The mum.
Okay, I was going to say the mum, but there I thought it was too obvious.
She was so good.
Yeah?
She elevated that little role. Well, maybe medium role. Mm-hmm. But she elevated it a lot. Yeah, I really felt for her.
Yeah, I felt like she didn't have as much emotion as you would have if you'd actually left like a 10-year-old kid in a different like part of the country. She never cried, that's that I can remember. You know, she never kind of...
She panicked.
She panicked, but it wasn't like a proper, an intense kind of like logic goes out the window kind of panic. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of like, oh my God, I've left my kid. Not like a...
Well, different people, you know, react to things differently. You know, like a 911 call. There's people judge those all the time. It's like, oh my God, he's too calm. My wife just beheaded. Oh, he's too calm. He must have done it.
Yeah, okay.
People react to things differently. What really come across to me in the mom character is like desperation. So I think she, instead of channeling into panic or sad emotion, she was like, bent 100% desperation into like, I just need to sort this out and just do this, and I feel really shitty about myself. And that's what came across, and she was amazing. Now let's talk about the real star of the show.
You can talk about John Candy, by any chance.
He was all right.
He was all right, yeah.
He had a funny joke. Now let's talk about the real star of the show.
Oh my God.
Do you know who I'm going to say?
I'm so torn now between picking someone so...
This is the quadruple bluff.
Exactly. It could literally be anyone from, like, the lady at the supermarket to Macaulay Culkin. It could be anywhere in between. I'm going to pick a random person. The dad.
No.
No.
It was Macaulay Culkin. Quadruple bluff. I think... His performance were interesting.
He's a kid, man. Like,
I think he was, if you look at it some sort of like objective way. If you look at it...
Have you got stuck?
I got stuck a little bit. If you look at it in any sort of objective way, he's kind of bad. But I found that he had a lot of charm and that made up for it. He was like the most charming, most interesting kid to look at on film ever. You know, like the Stranger Things kids can act really well, but they're kind of boring. Macaulay Culkin in this is really interesting to watch in a similar way where like Arnold Schwarzenegger can't fucking act or say words, which is kind of his job, but whatever. But he's really interesting to watch. I find that with Mac. That's his name.
We're on a first name, first syllable basis with him these days. Good old Mac.
He's called Milwaukee Culkin.
Yes, it's me, Milwaukee Culkin.
Your buddy Mac.
My buddy Mac.
I think it was perfect for the film, you know? I think most of the time, child actors are very annoying, or rubbish, or both. And I think it was kind of, it played to his strengths as a kid, you know? Just go out and have fun with it.
Yeah.
Go out and have fun. Be over the top because you're a kid and why not?
I feel like that's what he's been told as well on the sound. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I think that works. I think if that's you're going to make a film like this, it has to be that way.
Yeah. I feel like he was like a real personality I'm watching, you know?
Yeah.
He's like a fully fleshed out character. It's really good, you know? But that's important. Even if the acting wasn't 100% there, he was a fully fleshed out character in the script and it correlated very well with what he was doing, you know? And the two worked very well together. So, yeah. Now let's talk about the real star. No, I'm out. I think.
Let's talk about for a second just how much of an absolute dick everybody in Kevin's family is to him. I mean, I get that's the point, like at the start of the film, that he's kind of have, you have to set him in a situation that kind of makes him wish that his family wasn't around. But like everyone's a dick.
Yeah.
Like the kid spills a drink, the uncle gets in his face and is like, look what you did, you little jerk.
Yeah.
And his parents just look at it like, oh, yeah, that's how you talk to this kid. I feel like if I did that to my nieces and nephews, my brother and sister wouldn't talk to me again.
Yeah, you'd be like excommunicated.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
he'd be sent out to the desert.
And I think, like, the Buzz says something to him as well, like, you're a waste of space, and nobody ever stops giving him abuse, and nobody ever says anything about him getting the abuse.
Yeah. I thought that the idea was that he's more like, he gets lost in this big family.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a big family, especially as two families, but he gets lost in the shuffle in terms of attention as well.
But the attention he does get is incredibly negative. This is rubbish. You've done a bad thing here. He calls him a little jerk to his face in front of everyone.
Is this just because it's a 90s movie and the sensibilities are very different now?
Maybe.
Could you have called the kid 30 years ago?
It just seemed harsh. And when it came to like him wishing his family wasn't around, I was totally on his side.
I was too.
Yeah, it just seemed horrible. Being in that house with like hundreds of people running around, that's my worst nightmare in the entire world. So many kids, so many noise, so many arguments. Oh my God, I just...
Everyone's just shouting over each other constantly.
Yeah. Oh, it just looked horrible.
I did write down most stress-inducing family in the world. I just have like blood pressure peaking all the time. Just like, oh my God, stop shouting, stop talking to me. Stop running around. Such a stop. Everyone stop.
What do Kevin's parents do for a living to have that massive house? Because that is a massive house. And I think only like three of the kids were theirs. Maybe four.
I'm pretty sure four. Yeah.
Yeah, so they got four kids. That's a massive house.
Yeah. In a nice neighborhood.
Mm, in a fantastic neighborhood.
The one you should rob.
Yeah. they live in a robbable neighborhood.
Yeah. Good question. Is it just the economy was that good? Again, maybe we're looking at today's eyes, where, you know, back in the day...
He just worked in McDonald's. Yeah, they gave houses like that out, like candy.
Back in the day, you could exchange a house for a buttered toast.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
What do you think you would have done? What's the first thing you would have done? If you were 10 or 12 years old and you woke up and your family had disappeared, what would be... before you discovered yourself.
I was going to say, do you not realize where this is going? What does every preteen boy do 99% of their lives? After I've done that...
Again. And then again.
And then again.
And then one more time.
And then... Other people.
No. I think of the age Macaulay Culkin is, he's too young. He's too young.
Said 10 to 12, so that's why I went
That's
on.
About how old he is in the film, right?
No, I feel like he was 8, 9.
8, 9.
He was a very short 12-year-old if he was 12.
I don't know how old kids are, man. He's 8.
There you go.
Okay. So, here's a question. So, as an 8-year-old, if you woke up and none of your family are around, what's the first thing you do?
I had similar things happen to me.
Yeah.
Again, this is going to be like another sad diatribe. This Christmas is very sad. I remember freaking out, and like to the point where I had a very vivid imagination. And I started to kind of hallucinate that objects are coming to life, like he is in the movie.
Okay.
And I just, like, the way I grounded myself is I put on TV. I was like, at least there's something going on. I feel like I'm something grounding me to reality. A TV. Look how I turned out. So, yeah, I think I would be very anxious and put on TV and try to make myself busy.
Yeah? It's an 8-year-old kid. Like, you wouldn't just raid the fridge?
No.
No?
No. I think similar things happened. I was very anxious. I just didn't know what to do with myself. And I had one where I tried to call the police. And then I just like, oh my God, what's the code? And I just put in everything. I remember this so vividly. It's like, why is every digit a star? I don't understand. You know, because you put in a code and it shows up as a star. So yeah, like I was putting in every number and everything came up as a star. And I'm like, why the fuck? What's happening? And I've managed to call the police and things like that. Yeah.
What did they do?
They came around and was like, eh, she's coming home, don't worry.
Wow.
Yeah. You could have told me on that on the phone. You didn't have to come out.
Oh my God. Did they ever talk to your mum?
No.
What? They just, yeah. Oh, she's coming home. Bye.
It was in the village. No one cares. Fun times. Mm. What would you do?
Me? Well, here we go again.
I would turn on my NES and play Ninja Turtles all day.
I would have taken my Mega Drive or Master System, whatever I was playing at the time. I'd have taken it out of my room, out of my little TV. Ugh. And I would have gone downstairs to the big TV and attached it to the hi-fi system. Hi-fi? Was that a thing?
Hi-fi. Yeah.
Feels weird to say. I haven't said hi-fi in years.
Yeah, it doesn't exist like that anymore, but it used to be, yeah.
Yeah, for those who don't remember, a hi-fi was a massive, tower of nonsense. Looked like a small bookshelf that played music.
High fidelity.
I'd have attached it to that. I was quite good as a kid, wiring things up to each other. Ooh. So I would have found a way to just blare music and blare sonic music. And then I would have raided the fridge because I was only allowed a certain amount of things from the fridge each day. Mm-hmm. We had a big tub all the time of sweets and chocolate bars. And and then in one of our two fridges, we had drinks and cans and that kind of thing. And I was only allowed a few of them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's what I would have done.
Let's talk about the real star of the show.
Oh, am I guessing again?
Yeah, I need a prop.
A prop?
Can you give me the Pepsi bottle?
The Pepsi bottle? This is the Pepsi bottle over here.
Oh, let's talk about the real star of the show. Pepsi.
Pepsi.
Kieran Culkin holds up a Pepsi like he's in a commercial. It's really funny. It's it's this delicious Pepsi. And it looks in the camera. It's really funny.
Fuller, go easy on the Pepsi.
I don't know if I've mentioned this before. It's probably something that I've either thought about and not mentioned, and I just keep thinking that I haven't. But imagine being Pepsi. imagine.
I can't even begin to imagine being Pepsi.
imagine putting so much money and so much effort into advertising your products in films just for decades. For millions, probably billions of dollars.
They clearly, based on our random sample size, they clearly spent more money than Coke.
Yeah.
Because randomly we came up on four movies.
Yeah, they do. They must spend so much money for it to be everywhere all the time. And they're third. They're not even second anymore.
What's second? Fanta?
Dr. Pepper.
Okay. Wow.
That took over this year, by the way.
Oh.
Because it's better. I mean, no, Pepsi, sponsor us.
Yeah, sponsor us. We gave you so much.
Just imagine it. Just imagine it being the marketing guy in Pepsi. Every time you throw money at something, it just has no return whatsoever. Yeah,
the marketing guy of Pepsi is the most downbeaten man in all labor, all labor force. He's sweaty. He's got paperwork everywhere. He's got
a cheap suit on. The
cheap suit.
Pit stains.
He's got four phones ringing at all times.
No. No one's ringing those phones.
That's true.
No one's. They got covered in dust.
No, he's got to hear back from Kraven the Hunter how he's going to promote Pepsi. When is he going to open a delicious Pepsi?
He's running across the field spearing bottles of Pepsi.
Do you know why they call me the Rhino? Because of Pepsi. Don't have to make sense.
Do you know why they call me the Rhino? Well,
it becomes
Home Alone.
Home Alone. Let's talk more about childhood neglect.
Yeah.
This time it's an intentional one.
Okay.
And also this continues our wealth discussion as well, which is, let's say you have four kids and a wife.
Okay.
You go on a trip.
Gross.
Yeah, well, just for a second. We all know how you feel. Don't worry. You go to a foreign country. How do you fly? Do you just take out the most comfortable seats for yourself on business class and then let the kids be completely abandoned.
Hells to the yeah.
Well, okay.
Hells to the MFF and yeah.
You would say that, but like, would a normal person say that?
Honestly, again, I can't even comprehend a world in which I wouldn't immediately do that at the first possible chance.
You'd book a different flight for them.
Yeah, that would be amazing. There you go, guys. See you later.
Overnight shuttle bus.
I would book them a different flight to a different country. I would go to Barbados, yeah, and leave them there. I don't care.
You'd do an intentional home alone. Well, a reversed home alone.
Paris alone.
Paris alone.
Thank you guys. I think, yeah, it makes sense because the kids aren't going to appreciate business class. You know, they don't care. They're getting like free sodas. You know, this is 1990. You could probably buy 20 sodas for a dollar.
And cigarettes.
You could probably buy 20 delicious Pepsis. For... Yeah. And yeah, it doesn't make no difference then. It's not going to be worth it to put some like random kid in business class. But for them, it's amazing. Anyone in like economy, it sucks for them because yeah, they've got these massive load of horrible children.
Unsupervised.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest takeaway is that they're completely unsupervised. This is like the worst family ever. They should have
they can't
less
go
kids
anywhere, you know? It's what they're going to do.
Choke on something? I don't know.
Yeah, but...
Buy cigarettes for 20 cents.
They got the air hostesses for that.
Let's talk about the real star of the show. Do you not guess?
The pizza delivery man.
No.
It's the note I'm currently reading.
Okay. I'm thinking about Uncle Harry's weird sex mannequins.
So, yeah, I mean, there is a lot of, like, setup and payoff in this film. Like, Kevin goes to the basement and there's mannequins everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They're there because he uses them in a later scene to pretend like there's loads of people in his house.
Yeah.
But it never answers the question why Harry has so many sex mannequins in the basement. Why are they there?
Why is he bringing them to his brother's house? Pervert.
I mean, again, you could...
What's on this mannequin? sticky.
Oh, God. Cool. So let's talk about the real star of the show. The stars of the show.
Yeah, oh, okay. The Wet Bandits.
The Wet Bandits.
You called them Sticky Bandits earlier.
Yeah, sorry. Sticky Bandits is what they called in the second one. In this one, they're called the Wet Bandits because they leave the faucets on.
Yeah, I thought that was...
Faucets is not a word I've ever said before in my life. Taps.
That was the funniest setup payoff at the end for me.
Yeah.
When they're like, how do you know if other places got robbed?
It was the cops arresting them. Yeah. Yeah. Like, thanks for leaving the taps on. Now yeah, we know everywhere you've robbed.
Yeah. I thought that was hilarious. My biggest question with the Wet Bandits is Joe Pesci. There's lots of little things where they must have had stunt doubles. Must have.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
My biggest question is, how do you find a stunt double for Joe Pesci who looks like a potato?
I think my favourite stunt double thing is where Kevin's supposed to be ziplining from the tree.
Yeah.
And it's clearly like a 30-year-old man.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
It was so poor. They didn't get anyone even remotely small for it. They just picked up like the freaking guy doing the camera.
Yeah.
And just threw him down a string. So, yeah, I thought they did very well.
Yeah.
They were over the top, but in a good way.
Yeah. Did you get that thing where you said that if movies repeat a trope, they usually get better, right? Is that your theory or something like that? Where you're like, if there's a classic that's established a trope.
Yeah, not really a trope because that's just immediately negative, I would say. But if they establish like a plot point or a twist that happens and then everybody rips it off, eventually you have so many rip-offs that someone will do it better.
Yeah, did that happen with you in this? Because that is a very... Almost everyone rips that off for everything. The two bad guys who are like fumbling around and falling over each other. So did you have that same feeling?
No, I've never seen it done better. And that could be because obviously as a kid, I would have watched this film. So I saw the original and then I saw the ripoffs later.
Yeah.
So I established this as the good version before I went into it.
I felt like the balance was really good in terms of the threat and the comedy. They balanced it very well, but they didn't feel too incompetent.
Yeah.
I feel like that's where the rip-offs do badly sometimes, where they feel too incompetent because they double down on the...
On the stupidity.
On the stupidity, but they need to feel a threat as well. So I felt like the balance was perfect.
Yeah, I mean, they set the wet bandits up really, really well. They're kind of like buffoonery, but at the same time, like, the guy's got his watch and he tells the other guy when all the lights are going to come on. He's done his research.
He's dressed as a policeman and acts like he's watching over the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's
That's all, really smart.
Yeah, and I think they do get stupider as it goes on.
They get a bit desperate, I guess.
Yeah, it goes more cartoony. Because I think, the criminals that were breaking into the house, they would just get angry. Kind of, I'm going to hurt the kid. Yeah. You never think they're going to kill that kid.
Yeah, or they would just leave.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, I'm hurt. That's not worth it anymore.
Yeah. Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Why doesn't Kevin just call the cops?
He does call them, yeah.
At the end he does, He beats them to half to death and then calls the cops.
Because he wants to inflict pain upon his enemies.
What was that video we watched afterwards that said Kevin was a sociopath?
Yeah. Injury expert reacts to Home Alone.
Yes. So, would you like a breakdown of all the injuries that the wet bandits would have had by the end of this horrible infliction of pain? Right, so they would have had broken ribs, bleeding in the back and the front of the brain, second-degree burns, puncture injuries that would have been infected, first-degree burns, glass shards that stay in your feet for days on end, bruised and lacerated organs, a second vertebrae break with whiplash, torn internal organs, brain swelling, epidural bleeding, and bleeding brain.
Just a cherry on top. Bleeding brain. So we were talking after the movie. You said that you think the worst thing is the paint can. For me, it was the iron.
Okay, yes, I do remember this discussion now, yeah.
And the iron is because it's like it's a straight drop instead of a swing. I think that loses a bit of energy in the swing, you know?
I thought it came down to the weight. Like, a paint can weighs a lot more
than an old iron weighs a lot.
An old iron weighs a lot, but like a cheap iron.
Yeah. Anyway, I was right. Because the lady in the video said it would hit their face and then the brains would keep going because it's just sloshing around inside the skull. And they would get hit in the back. So you get bleeding in the back of the brain.
He gets hit in the face and he falls to the floor.
He falls to the floor and then she said the shock would hurt the front and the back of the brain because the brain just moves around.
Do you want to talk about John Candy?
We can. He felt like the pointless celebrity cameo, but he had a funny line and he had some purpose in the script, so you know.
Yeah, just that whole section felt like something from another film.
A little bit, yeah. We're going to put John Candy in. We can sell the film like that.
Yeah, like the writer of the film had just released Planes, Trains and Automobiles, which I can't remember at all. But it was a big film at the time starring John Candy. And that's what they wanted to kind of put in this film. Not as like a part of the same universe kind of thing, because they didn't know to do that kind of thing back then. But
the Home Alone universe.
The Home Alone-iverse.
The Home Alone-iverse. There's an end credit scene where they talk about Turbo Man. It's all connected.
Kevin, we're back for Christmas. Look what's under the tree. Turbo Man.
Turbo Man. Wait, it's missing. You see like a Arnie shadow skulking out.
An Arnie hole in the wall.
Arnie hole in the wall.
Let's talk about for a second that old man. I already understand. Obviously, they give a little story at the start of the film, but I didn't really understand why he was so scared of that guy.
Kid logic. Especially, like, if you live in like, a community where people talk to each other and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know, crazy science fiction. there's usually little, like, myths and stuff. And then if there's, like, a very introverted person, there's more gossip about them.
Yeah, I suppose there's always that one house, isn't there? Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, don't go to that house.
Yeah.
The old lady there.
For us, it was the ostrich house.
The ostrich house?
Yeah. We had a neighbor who had kept ostriches. And then...
to eat?
We were told...
Oh, I don't know. Did you get like a big like ostrich leg? Like giant...
A giant omelette. I'll feed you for a whole day.
Ostrich burgers! Hit your ostrich burgers!
I'll take one.
Okay, you pick one out and I'll punch it to death.
It's just the most random thing ever because it was in the bumf nowhere, Hungary. A guy just kept ostriches. No idea why. But I think he was just a little too weird of a guy. And then everyone warned us, don't go there, don't do that. Don't, the ostrich is going to eat you. I like the little scene in the church.
Yeah.
It does start out like as a typical scene where it's like the old man is going to give advice to the young man. And then it like reverses it. When Mac is just like, oh yeah, why don't you talk to your kids? Why are you so scared? And that also inspired him not to be scared as well. And I felt like those little plot lines came together very nicely though.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, as well as give him motivation, he's the close the old man story. Yeah, it's just perfect, perfectly written.
Yeah, I mean, you can even go back to the start of the film where the rumor around the old man is that he killed his family and then, you know, cut them up and made them salt for gritting the roads. And it's like that's the sudden, like, departure of his family, which actually happened.
Yeah.
You know, they had a falling out over something.
Yeah. Now that you laid it out like this, now it's obvious why there's like a gossip about him.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like a well-off suburb and there's like giant families around with lots of kids. And it is weird to have just one old man
mm-hmm.
in a big house. So like it makes sense now why, you know, people are making up stories about him. My favorite thing at the end of that church thing, when Macaulay Culkin gives him advice how to live his life. The old man just says, well, think about what I said. And I'm like, what? What did you say? You didn't say anything. You didn't say any good advice. You're just bullshitting.
That's what every adult does. Like when they want to give kids advice, they just make up some shit and hope for the best.
He didn't say anything. He didn't say.
He did say something at the start.
Something. Yeah.
He did say, I don't remember what it is.
It was bullshit.
And you're absolutely right that he definitely receives like 10 times more advice than he gives. Now, the mum comes home, and then everybody else comes home.
Mm-hmm. One unintentionally funny bit was me thinking the mum will come home, and Kevin forgot to disengage the traps.
I remember that, yeah. Just, she walks in and gets a paint can to the face.
Bang.
She walks through the door, gets a paint can to the face, grabs hold of the handle, gets burnt, falls yeah. down the stairs.
Kevin goes off to military school. That was Home Alone.
That was Home Alone. A surprisingly well-received film.
Surprisingly.
From yourself.
Amazing film, I feel like. I'm more shocked than ever before on this podcast. So what's the scores?
What's the scores on the doors?
Yeah.
7.
For me, it's a solid 9 out of 10.
Wow.
Told you, it's so well done. Again, it's not something I would watch like every week or something. It's kind of like an after-sun situation. Where okay. I really recognized all the artistry and craftiness and things like that. And I really appreciate it and really liked it. It's not my kind of movie.
Okay. So, yeah, what are we doing next? Whose recommendation even is it? I don't even know. We've got to a point now that, like, I don't know where, I don't know who I am as a person.
Well, it's January, and you know what they say.
Is it?
We'll call it Friendary.
Friendary.
I've been failing as a friend. And basically, I've never shown you a film that you'd love.
Okay, yeah. So is your algorithm kicking in?
I've showed my list to several scientists around the world. You told me the criteria.
Yeah.
One whole movie fits your criteria. I have like 40 on my list.
Okay.
Completely. There's little things here and there, but...
Are you allowed to share the criteria?
It's your criteria.
Yeah, I know, but I say a lot of stuff.
So you said, something must always happen. Something must always be happening. It has to be a recent movie.
Okay.
It has to be well made. Some of the problems with this is that it's subjective and whatever you think. But I try to think of it in your head. And the main guy can't be an asshole.
Okay.
And I arrived to the conclusion, after consulting many scientists on this, is that the movie Nice Guys... fits all these criteria.
Okay.
It's a bit of a risky one still, because it is a return of fan favorite Shane Black, okay. the guy who did Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very recent film. It's just a couple of years old.
I think it's older than that. But
well, maybe now 10 years, but I feel like... maybe 2017.
Yeah,
I think so. It's very, it's in my mind, it's very recent.
Fair enough. I've heard good things about this, and it is a film that I have been meaning to see at some point. Is it Russell Crowe and
Ryan Gosling?
Yeah,
that's the movie that showed me that Ryan Gosling is can be really, really funny before Barbie.
Yes.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. I'm gonna keep continuing Friendary, maybe into Friendbuary, because I've got some half picks.
Okay.
That kind of clicks with your list. But here we go. The Road to 7 out of 10. Don't give me a pity one. Do it for real. Nice, okay. Guys.
I look forward to it. I genuinely do.
Yay.
I think this is one of the only, not one of the only films, but this is definitely one of the films that you've recommended that I'm the most excited about.
Okay.
Like, it's a film that is on my radar to watch.
Okay.
A lot of the films you recommend are like on my radar to avoid.
And with that said, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Like and subscribe, and bye.
Speak to you next time.
Fuller, go easy on the Pepsi.
Introducing a whole new look for Pepsi.
You know we wanna drink P-P-P-S-I. You know we wanna drink P-P-P-S-I. S-I-I. You just open a can. Yeah, there's only one choice. So kick back and enjoy. You know we wanna drink P-P-P-S-I. You know
all new look, same great taste. Pepsi, Generation Next.